Hi, and welcome to Tom and Penelope Express.
Hi, I'm Tom Pauly.
And I'm Penelope Pauly. And Tom and Penelope Express is our new series that we're working on to be able to connect with people on a more regular basis, touch base with you guys, answer questions that come in. And so today we have two really good ones, Tom.
Oh, okay. What's the first one?
Okay, this is from Linda. She has two awesome questions. Number one, I took a job that I knew I shouldn't take, but I am my sole support and took it. Now I'm recovering from repeated exposure to mold, which has resulted in some serious symptoms and had to give my notice. I've written down a few months ago that I have my quote-unquote perfect employment and what I would like that to be. I use the word perfect not because I expect perfection, but because it is a lot of meaning to me that it is exactly the right one for me. Anyway, nothing has happened as of yet, and I'm kind of wondering how to progress from here. Yes, I have asked a few times in the portal for my perfect employment. I do tithe and give.
Wow. Can you read that part again about she's not supposed to use the word perfect, but she does anyway?
Right.
Now, first of all, we have to establish that everybody makes mistakes. And if you write a question and we start tearing it apart, we're not tearing you apart. We're trying to get to the basics of the concept so that everybody can understand.
Because this is not the first time this question has come through.
Oh, this is
not the first time somebody has been struggling with this exact scenario. Here's the deal. And this is why we wrote about it specifically in our book. There is no such thing as perfect in our world. We do not live in a perfect world.
We live in an imperfect world. Nothing is perfect. Anywhere. Any way. Any kind. Nothing. Zero. Nada. Nothing.
So, I would like to pose to you this.
Wait. Let me go on from that.
Yeah.
If it was perfect, you wouldn't have anything to learn. If you got the perfect job, if you got the perfect house, if you had the perfect car, you'd be satisfied and life would become instantly boring. You are purposely...
Because life is not about the having it, right? Life is not about the actual achievement. Life is about in between.
Yeah.
Here and there.
You know,
people say, oh, it's about the journey. And that's kind of become cliche. But it is. It's about what's between here and there. It's not about there.
You remember Dr. Wooten, the first chiropractor we went to in Hobbs?
Yeah.
Penelope had a
fourth grade
outrageous fever. She was 100 and... Was it 104?
Four.
Oh, my God.
For like 2 weeks.
Yeah, we were giving her all kinds of ampicillin, penicillin, and there was, well...
All the cillins.
Yeah, she's all cillined up. And the guy said, well, next step's the hospital. You bring her in, we'll put her in one of those ice beds. And a friend came over that night and said, nah, I'd go to see Doc Wooten first. Who's he? He's a chiropractor. No. Her back isn't hurting. It's just the... He said, no. You go. Cost you $25. You go to the hospital, $2,500 to get indoor. You decide. So next morning, we went to Doc Wooten.
Because, you know, people that know my father know to really speak about the right side of the menu. Go ahead.
Anyway, so we went there. But that makes good sense. You do the least.
May as well try it.
So we went there. He straightened her out. He said, now she's out of alignment. See her 1 foot's longer. I'm going to straighten out and lower her fever right away. And he went through this thing about you had so much as a pencil laying on a nerve, it could stop your body from healing itself. So he straightened her out. And we watched her temperature drop. She went home that night, actually ate dinner, which she hadn't been able to do for a week. And her throat was so sore. And next morning went to school and changed our lives. And I fell in love with this guy, you know, and fell in love with the whole concept. Here's something new that I had never seen in my life. And he said one day, he had a big practice, and I said, wow, it must be great having this practice and knowing that all these people are coming in and the money just pours in. And he said, you know, no, it isn't. I like it. I'm glad I have it. I sit down and sometimes wish it was starting all over again because those were the fun years. When we started out and built it up and it just, you learn so much, you grow, and That's the way it is in life. If you don't learn and grow, you miss the fun. That's what you're here for. You're here for the experience. You're here for the getting there, not the getting it. And so when you try to be perfect,
I know that you want, I know that that word has probably a special meaning to you. I'm going to say something else. That word might be your worst enemy, even if you like it. Because you are trying to attain something that does not exist. You're trying to be something you cannot be. You're trying to have something that is not available to you. And it means that you are never good enough. And that is a falsehood. We are only perfect because of our imperfections. We are only perfectly us because we are not perfect. And we are unique and we are different and we are each a very specific energetic signature. And there is no perfect anything because that's not how it works. You absolutely need to write the words, I have the job that is exactly correct for me.
If you want to be more specific, you might even say, I have the job that is exactly correct for me at this time because times change.
And by putting in perfect, you just set yourself up to hit a wall. You set yourself up to not succeed at it. You stop yourself from getting what you really want. Because the universe doesn't see that you like the idea of perfection. The universe doesn't see that it's a clue word for you. The universe sees this is something unattainable. Eliminate it.
Number two. What's this? So you said you had two questions.
Yes. The second question.
Same person. God, thank you, by the way. These are great questions.
Good job, Linda. These are awesome questions. What is detachment? It is very confusing, and I would like to know how I can actually detach and not be concerned about things happening or not.
Well, there you go. All of us would. First of all, detachment is quite a process. It's not easily learned. It is one of the hardest processes you'll ever have to know in this life. How to
want something and not care when it or if it shows up. And it isn't that you don't care if you get it.
You care if you get it. Right. You ask for it.
You don't stop wanting it. You don't stop caring about your life. You take away your need to control how it shows up. This is by practicing the mental exercises that recreate for you the already having itness.
Oh, that's a new word.
I just made it up.
If you were in German, that'd work, but in English, it's a little bit more difficult. We don't just add things on, honey. Never having itness?
No, the already having itness.
Already having itness.
What you need to do is practice the energy of having what you want. Visualization doesn't work if you look and long, if you look at something and have longing and feel far away from it. Visualization works when you're able to take a feeling and connect it with the image. And the feeling is, I already have this, so I don't care how it comes because I know it's already here, so I don't have to care about the delivery system. That's what detachment is. The not caring is not caring how it gets there.
See, let me point out what she's saying, and which is absolutely correct. What you get to ask for anything you want. Anything. You get to write it down, ask for it. Okay? And you get to receive it when it comes. What you don't get to do is say, I want a new Jaguar, and I want the Jaguar to come from this car dealership over here, and I'd like Joe to deliver it. And when Joe gets here, you can't do all that. You can't do the details of how you get what you get. You know, it just doesn't work that way. You've got to give up. You got to surrender to God, but never give up. You surrender your will to His. Yes, that's what I want. Please provide. But we're all geared to, okay, I've decided, because it goes back to goal setting. And we all got, what's his name?
Napoleon Hill.
Napoleon Hill. I mean, good man. He missed the point in one regard. He said, get your goal and decide how you're going to get it. Well, you can't decide how you're going to get it.
You could decide the inspired action you would like to take in that direction. Absolutely. I sat down, I wrote down about a new job, and it's the exact job that's right for me right now. I feel great about it. It is people that I enjoy working with. It is a safe, healthy environment for me to be in. I make great money for my work. I am up to the challenge. I feel great about myself. I am confident in my work. You can write all those things down. You describe your job exactly as you want it. And then, right, you detach. Now, that doesn't mean you say, I'm never going to pay attention to this subject ever again. It means, oh, I have a feeling maybe I should call Jane and see
it
if she knows
you
anybody.
You assume it's going to work.
That's the detachment, is assume it's going to work. The action then. You do take action. But let yourself be inspired for the action. Don't say, well, now I know I need to find a lot of people and do all these things and research all this and go down here. Now, those may be steps that you take. But you're just taking the steps. God's delivering the job. Yeah, you're going to call Jane and say, hey, Jane, I heard that you know a guy that works in a such and such, and I was thinking that might be interesting to me. I don't know. Is that something that I might be able to look into? That's what we're talking about. So detachment isn't easy. I'll tell you the one thing that's really great for it. Is go do something fun. Having fun and doing things that are enjoyable is the best way to detach, because what you're doing is you're practicing the joy of having what you want, even if you're focused on something else. It's just like gratitude is just as powerful for detachment, because you're practicing the energy of already having what you want. This is why gratitude helps us. It doesn't help us because God needs us to say thank you. It helps us. The thank you is for you. The thank you isn't for anybody else. The thank you is for, thank you, I'm practicing that this is exactly what I want, and I have what I want, and I'm getting what I want. And the more you practice that energy, guess what? The universe starts saying, oh, she wants to get what she wants. Here's some more of what she wants. Here's some more of what she wants. Here's some more of what she wants. She is practicing the energy of what she wants. You can have it all.
As a salesman, I do 35 calls. I knock on 35 doors, I get 5 opportunities to talk. Out of those 5 opportunities to talk, I would close 1 sale. Well, maybe that's true, but it's nonsense. It's trying to teach someone who doesn't know to sell to get out and work and be active. But that doesn't make the thing come to you. What makes the things come to you is your openness to allow the universe to guide you. And you can only get that when you detach. I want to make a sale today. Okay. We make more sales when we go to Disneyland than we make when we work our tails off. And it will work for you too. So, detachment. I hope that tells you what detachment is. We can probably talk for 2 hours on detachment.
And think acknowledging, you know, if something bad happens, of course you're going to feel it. Of course you're going to be concerned about it. The trick isn't not feeling your life. It's recovering from a stumble. It's taking a punch in the gut and saying, okay, it was just a punch in the gut. I'm all right. I'm going to move forward. I'm not going to let this stop me in my quest to have more of what I want and to be more of who I am. You have to keep going down that road. There will be obstacles. There was going to be challenges. You will always be faced with something to overcome, or there's no reason to be alive. That's what we're here to do. That's what the great stories come from.
Right.
That's the fun.
When you think back, how many great stories do you personally have that did not involve your overcoming something? a flat tire on the highway was as the sun's setting in the west, and there's
nobody
inside.
And you're dressed as a clown? I did that one.
Well, I did that in New Mexico when there was coming back, and New Mexico is pretty fairly sparsely populated. And yet God sent a truck driver who undid my wheel, put it in his truck, and took me to the gas station, and it was fixed. And then it was closing time, no way to get back, in a little teeny town, no cabs, nothing like that. A lady who got gas said, well, I live on a farm, a ranch not far from there. I'll wait till it's finished and take you. It was only about 50 miles out of her way, one way. 100 miles she drove just to help me out.
Now, God, if you don't think that that was sent from somewhere else, come on. Let's be honest. Not a lot of cultures still do that. Acknowledge where the stuff is coming from. You will have the right job for you.
The correct
and
job.
The correct job for you. And you know what? The fact that you had to give your notice means that one wasn't the correct one for you.
Or maybe you learned from it. Maybe it's time to go to the next one.
It's okay.
Don't beat yourself up.
Move through it.
God will provide. The universe provides.
Buddha
provides.
You're doing awesome. I hope this helps you. And everyone else out there that has the same questions, which I'm going to tell you, there are a lot of you, I'm sure.
Oh, my gosh. You wouldn't believe how many questions we have.
This is really exciting. We're going to work on some more of these and get them out to you guys as soon as we can. Have a great one.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us.
Good luck and great adventures. Bye-bye.